Pew, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Happy June! Happy June. Man, my goodness. Michelle, substitute teaches, and she's came and sat down the table this morning and said, hey, gee, let me work this week. And no, she doesn't work because she has to. She's still keen to go into school. She enjoys it. Well, we appreciate the money she brings in, but I don't make her go to work. I heard somebody say that. You make your wife work so you can do ministry. No, I know. By the way, we're in it together. What a great weekend we had Long Island, New York. And of all the Hear the Watchman events that I've been a part of, it was absolutely the best. And I think it was best because they focused on one thing, and that was spiritual warfare, demonic possession, all that kind of stuff. You know, normally when you go to one of those conferences, you got, like when we did ours, you know, you have Mark Trump speaks on artificial intelligence and David Arthur speaks on the homosexual agenda and Bradley Dam. We all speak on so many different things. This was on one topic, spiritual warfare, demonic oppression, yada, yada, yada. And it was really, really good. And then what's Russ Dizdar and his wife Shelley and Tom Dunn and Sherry Clausen, just what great. I mean, they're just the kind of folks you kind of like to hang around with, you know. And this, I probably shouldn't say it, but I will. Not every time do I go someplace I run into people I want to hang around with, you know. You know what I'm talking about. They probably don't want to hang around with me, so it's okay. But it was just a fabulous, fabulous thing. I want to share this right off the bat because this was an absolute. It was a mic drop for me. May not be a mic drop for you. May not be, but Russ Dizdar made a comparison on. I'll lose track of time. God, I'm home. I think I'm home. Russ Dizdar made a comparison on Saturday evening, I think it was. We're in a big conference room, and he tried to make us aware of this. He says, imagine in this big conference room, where folks, you imagine your house, wherever you would be. But boy, just it was a bang to me. Russ said, imagine that you're sitting in, we're sitting here in this great big conference room. And outside this conference room, the hallways outside here are filled with rats. And opossums, and just all these creepy animals that you don't want to be around. We're all safe in here. We're all safe inside this building. But he says, I'm going to tell you something. As soon as somebody gets up and has to go to the bathroom and they go open that door, those animals are coming in. Those rats are coming in. Those armadillos are coming in. They're coming in. And especially, it's going to get really worse if somebody gets up and walks out of here and goes to the bathroom and they don't close the door. Before you know it, there's going to be rats over all of us. They're going to be climbing up our legs. I said, my Lord, is that ever it? The spiritual world in which we live in. See, the Lord tells us to close doors, open doors and close doors, and be careful what doors you open. And my. And my mic went boom. Because I said that. Boy, is that ever it? Is that ever it? If we would all just stop and think in our own personal lives, the doors that we open and allow stuff to come in. God, help us to see and help us to understand that supernatural realm is real. And we are leaving our doors open and inviting them to come right in. We wonder what's wrong with the world. We haven't been able to figure it out. Then I had another thing hit me this weekend. Stay with me just a second. I was having a conversation with somebody about a business that was making money off of alcohol. And somebody said, well, you know, you can, as Christians, you can take the devil's money. You can take the devil's money. And all somebody roars, oh, no, no, Christians can't be selling alcohol. And then I thought, wait a minute, somebody help me out here. Can Christians be selling cable TV? Which is worse? Why do we snarl and snort and raise our nose at Christians who would sell alcohol, but don't say anything about guys who are making their living selling cable TV or internet access? Am I missing something here, boys? Am I missing something? See, and I learned this from Rush. They're all just open doors. You're just opening doors every time you do it. A lot of things we've been taught, a lot of things we think aren't true. Man, All Hands on Deck is coming up this 2 weeks. Now that I've got Chappaqua, Chappaqua's not behind me. We got a lot of stuff to talk about there too. Hey, listen, this is an action ministry, okay? This is an action ministry. And I was kind of harsh with some of you on Friday, but I apologize, but I don't apologize. I'm just telling you, we can win. We can win, but more of you are going to have to get actively engaged. We can win. In fact, I was having a conversation with Mike Heath yesterday. Mike, Mike called me on the way home. We were coming home from New York yesterday, and we didn't use Victor's Russian MapQuest. Michelle and I used the American MapQuest, and we didn't go clear up to Canada. We didn't make any bad turns, so I appreciate that. But Mike called me. Mike, you said something. Maybe you can allude to it here real quickly. is he in here? Jared? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, step him back in. I'll wait for him. When he comes back in, you step him back in for me, will you? Well, I'm talking about all hands on deck. He's going to go get his dad. All Hands on Deck is coming up the next weekend. And we want you to be part of it. We want as many of you to come as you can. And we're setting up a big tent. You can bring a cot, a sleeping bag, whatever you want to. You can sleep free under that big tent. We're charging $30 because we had to put the tent up, but we're going to feed you three meals. It's going to be included with it. A lot of good stuff's going on. Coffee in the morning, a lot of different things. You can stay in a hotel if you want to. Hotels are available within the area. You can get those. There's a KOA that you can camp at if you want to. One of the most wonderful KOAs in all of America is just across the lake. It's a wonderful time, and I'm not going to share with you yet. I'm not going to let the enemy know exactly what we're going to do, but I'm going to tell you this. You are going to have the best Christian fellowship you have ever had. I promise you, hands down. We saw it again in New York when we had the 125 people, and then when my last opportunity to be able to speak, those of you who are at Occupy will understand this. I said, we got to get together here. And I said, how many of you are local? And some raised their hand. I got them in a group. And how many of you are from Pennsylvania? I got them in a group. And that room lit up as those people were so hungry to meet like-minded people. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. And that's what we do at All Hands on Deck. And we're going to do street ministry. We're going to do fellowship. We're going to have ourselves a ball. We'll do some baptism. You can swim. You can go out on a boat. It's not all work and no play. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. But we need you to register. And Randy just told me that Randy and George and Paul Webb are all getting on a plane and flying. Now, listen, Randy just went to Chappaqua. He just flew to Chappaqua. But he understands it's important enough that he's flying here. And so the information, Jared, I think you have it on the screen. I've been doing so much stuff here, jabbering here. It's all right there on the screen, folks. It's all. Now, look, some of you I know can't come in until Friday. That's okay. We want to try to start Friday morning. And I'm not. We have the enemy listens to our show, so I'm not going to give out all of the things that we're going to do, but it's going to be great. We've got great, great activities planned, and so it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, part of in the morning on Sunday, and then you'll be free and released going. Larry's going to come in and do all the cooking. I hope I didn't scare you away, but he's volunteered to be able to do that, and going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Any questions or anything I haven't said about this? This is so important, folks. Now listen. The next weekend, I'm going to Oregon. Going to Oregon the next weekend for a regional huddle out there with Tim Tuber. And we're still working on that. If you're out in that West Coast area, man, and you can't get to All Hands, we're trying to get something going here as well. Okay, so again, lot of things going on. Anybody, anything you want to say about All Hand? No.
Hey, okay, cool. Coach, this is Mike Keith. I'm back in. Sorry.
Okay, Mike. Listen, I was patting you on the back when you left and walked out of there. But you said something on the phone yesterday when we had the conversation, Mike. I want to encourage people. I want to. You know, when people die, when they go through the process of death, they have one burst of extra energy right at the end. I forget what they call that, but there's a burst of energy for people right at the end of their lives. It happened with my father. I'll never forget it when I was the last day that he was alive. He had a real burst of energy towards the end. And Mike, you said something yesterday to me that I thought was pretty profound. We're hearing the death throes of the left, aren't we, Mike?
Yeah, I call it a kind of a Soviet Union moment. I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed, but most people, I didn't really see it coming the way that it came. Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it wasn't very long after that the Soviet Union just disappeared. All of a sudden, it was gone. And the Berlin Wall was coming down, and it's completely gone, and their culture is coming back with Christianity.
They're more Christian than we are.
Yeah, it's coming back with Christianity at its core, in terms of where the morality comes from and where the culture is getting its art and its music, et cetera. Its aesthetic is coming from Christianity instead of atheism. But anyway, I feel that we are beginning entering into a similar period in the West. I don't want to be overly optimistic, but I just see evidence everywhere that the left is collapsing. And I've had people push back and say, well, if it's collapsing, it's sure. I'm not seeing it, but
I am. Abortion is about the end in America, folks. Yeah. Abortion is about the end. And I'm going to tell you this, friends. The homosexuals are so overplaying their hand in regards to transgenderism and all that kind of stuff. I want to show you something. Jared, go down and click on it. Says Larry Householder on my page here. I got a scripture I want to read here in a second. I don't like politicians. And Larry Householder is my state rep, okay? He's my state rep. He lives 15 or 20 miles from me here. I'm trying to find you, Jared. What are you posting under today, Jared? John Smith still? No, because I see John Smith. I see you, Jared. Where do I find it up on the screen? No. Oh, there he comes. Okay, now he's presented for me. So, this is Larry Householder. By the way, I'm not a big fan of his. Not a big fan. But we had drag queens coming to our local library here. And believe it or not, some people got upset. Huh? Now, they can have drag queens come and substitute teach. Nobody has a problem with that. But when they started to do it at the library, there's still some life in the old church here in Licking County, evidently. And people began to raise hell. And they called the library board. They called the commissioners. Same thing happened in Delaware, Ohio, up where JR is. Same thing. They canceled one up there as well. And so I just want to read this to you because Larry Householder, who is now the Speaker of the House in Ohio, he's the Speaker in our House of Representatives, our State House. Jared, pull down there. I want you to read this common sense letter that Larry Householder. I mean, he penned it, and I'm coming home and I'm reading it. And I said to my wife, "My goodness, can you? Yeah, click on it. It says in a letter, Jared. Yeah, click right on that." And it'll pop up there. This is straight talk, folks. This is it. Do we all need to call Larry Householder? Maybe you need to find some guys like with some stones like that in your area. And Jared's pulling it up on the screen because I want to be able to read it to you. Well, he's got something else going. There it is. Can you make that bigger, Jared? A little bigger. Okay. To whom it may concern, this is Ohio Speaker of the House, Larry Householder. He says, like you, I'm a strong believer in the First Amendment, fully support freedom of speech. And like you, I'm a strong believer in our libraries. I'm not Larry. I'm not a strong believer in my libraries, but okay. But I also believe in common sense. When I was first informed that our public libraries were being used to teach teenage boys how to become drag queens, I thought it was a joke. But the joke is apparently on the taxpayers who fund our libraries. It's a stunningly bizarre breach of the public trust, and it must stop. Ohio's libraries are among the best and best funded. That's sad. That's sad. Oh, don't get me going on that, Larry. Best funded in America. This year alone, the state will spend nearly $400 million supporting local libraries, which are a wonderful resource for our community. I wonder what percentage of people use the library. Each and every day across Ohio, librarians are playing an important role in helping our students through literacy programs, book clubs, and other enrichment activities, which, by the way, that's what the school's supposed to do. These and other initiatives, like educating young people on the dangers of drugs and teaching them technology skills, are the types of programs and activities on which the taxpayers hope to see their libraries focused. Let me be crystal clear, Larry Householder says, Speaker of the House in the state of Ohio. This isn't about banning books or banning thought or any other red herring argument. This is about right and wrong. This is about being good stewards of the public's money. Our libraries are an incubator for thoughts and ideas, for debates and discussions. On this point, we can all agree, but I can also assure you that taxpayers aren't interested in seeing their hard-earned dollars being used to teach teenage boys how to become drag queens. I expect this to end immediately. Amen, Larry Householder. Straight talk, that's what it's all about. And that's why Mike Heath said, and I say, if we stand up now and push back, we will see the death of the left. They are overplaying their hand, and we need to awaken people. We need to awaken them. We need to get them out in the streets, as uncomfortable as that is. That's what we need to do. Somebody come in here and make a comment about that. Then, Jared, bring up that thing that says homo indoctrination email. I sent you that one separately. Pull that up there. Hey, I'm going to stop. Pause right here. I'm going to rescind my invitation to come in a minute. I'm going to rescind it. We're going to have to, again, make the determination whether we are going to get people saved or save our children. Listen, Jesus, the Lord himself said he wished that all would come under the knowledge of truth. He wants none to perish, but the truth is some are perishing. Some are going to perish. By choice, they're going to perish. So we have to balance this. See, our Christianity, I'll never forget, Matt Tice told us that the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul and your mind, and to love your neighbors yourself. And the problem we have in America is we love our neighbors more than we love the Lord. And our fealty to the Lord and what the Lord represents, that we are his messengers, we are his ambassadors, we are his crusaders, and it is our job to speak the truth. Hear me! To protect those. We need to speak the truth to protect those who are going to be damaged by those who are not following Christ. And those who are not following, listen, I hope Nancy Pelosi gets saved, but I want her off the stage more than I want her saved. Does that make sense? Does anybody understand where I'm coming from here? If we go around, if we think the only solution to winning this cultural war is getting people saved, if we think that's the only, we will never do it. Because I'm going to tell you, most Christians don't even know how to do that. They don't even try to do that. I want to rescue the perishing. And I want to rescue those who are being indoctrinated. That's why I got up on this screen right here. You can see it. LGBTQ public school teachers. By the way, is it any worse for Christians to sell beer or to work in the public schools and teach kids this crap? Which is worse? Oh, we just honor our public school teachers. Oh, they're just doing the greatest job in there. Yeah, they're teaching kids that came from monkeys. Well, now the Lord feels about that. So the LGBT school teachers, there you can see on there, the teachers got, those of you who are just listening, I'm sorry. But the visual is there's a teacher in front. She's all dressed in homo colors, and she's got gay on the screen and lesbian and trans and bi. And here's the caption. You see, kids, you can be and do any kind of sex you feel like and never, never say otherwise. That's called hate. And then down at the bottom, it says the gay crusade, tactic number 7. Re-educate educators that gay kids are a bullied minority. Indoctrinate and confuse school kids that there are many genders, many gender choices, and all sexual lifestyles are normal and optional. Brought to you by your local public school. And any Christian teacher that takes part in this is worse than an alcoholic and a drug pusher, in my honest opinion. Somebody come in, help me out here. Nobody?
Well, I'll chime in. It's a coordinated nationwide effort.
And I got one too.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just saying it's a coordinated nationwide effort.
We're
so far down the lesbian, gay, transgender rabbit hole in certain areas, I don't know that you'll ever back out of it. I mean, they've just become inculcated. They control so much of government, so much of the public schools. You got to get your kids out of public schools. Get them out. If you leave them in there, it's child abuse.
Amen. I agree with you, Lowell. Joe, you going to say something?
Yes, sir. Let's try to confuse the issues as far as we talk about selling alcohol. Guess what? I have an occasional drink. It's not sinful. Jesus drank wine.
The command to you is not to drink, at least the way I understand, but not to be drunk. That's the command.
That's right.
And we get all upset over people who might take a drink on a Saturday night and yet sending kids into schools and libraries, this crap going on, and we're oblivious to it.
We're oblivious to it because we don't identify that as clear sin.
Amen, Joe.
All right.
You ready? I'm thinking about this seriously. I'd rather my grandson have a beer than watch most TV shows. Truth be gone. Huh? Come on in. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Good to hear you, Vic.
Good morning, Coach. It's a clear and present danger that is not being acknowledged.
It's not. They are absolutely, absolutely, absolutely after our children. Now.
Did you hear JB the other day going down a list of all the Muslims that are running for office in Sugarland, all in the Houston area? That was just absolutely amazing. It was jaw-dropping.
Well,
I hope my grandkids turn into big alcoholics and not guys that want to have butt sex with other guys.
That's right. I asked somebody about that, Craig. Would you rather your son came home and told you he was an alcoholic or that he was a homo? Which is more deadly for him?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, you know, from my studies and my opinion, this is the same Luciferian bloodline that has been going on for thousands of years since Nimrod.
Yes.
And we're getting ready to see something big happen because this evil side is obviously something big is happening. But I think we as Christians, we have to understand where this all stems from. And this is the same bloodlines that have been going on when Nimrod lived, when Jesus lived, when Martin Luther lived. It's the same old thing. It's just we're heading for something big.
Okay, so George, I'm going to say this. And by the way, I got banned on Facebook for 30 days. I don't know. I don't even know what I did. I don't even care anymore. Right? It's just childish. It's just so childish. One of the great should I say that? I have to say it. We have been convinced. I'm going to say this. I'm going to move on. We have been convinced in America, that all Jews are holy and righteous. And they're not. They're not. The George Soros is, what's the guy, Michael Eisner, or whoever runs Disney? they're so involved in wanting to kill babies that they say we're not going to go down and do ministry or make movies down in Georgia because they want to protect babies. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to deny the unrighteous Jewish impact of what's going on in America. Now that'll get me banned. I'm just telling you the truth. And there are many of those who hate Christ. They hate his image. They hate his name. They hate everything about him. And their hatred for Christ is driving them to destroy America, Christian America specifically. Yeah, come on in.
No, Coach, what you say is so true. I'll just say this. You know, yes, the Muslims are an issue, but the biggest issue that's going on unnoticed is a lot of states are passing what they call BDS laws. Mm-hmm. Where if you speak out against the state of Israel or anything like that, it's considered anti-Semitism.
That's right.
Even in the state of Florida, you can't do business in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Who's behind all that? Just dig down, see who's behind all that. Doesn't that have anything to do with whether I hate some people or don't hate some people? Huh? Is it okay? Why is it if you speak out against someone of Jewish faith, you're an anti-Semite? But you can rattle all you want to on Christians. You can just rattle away on them. There ain't no anti-Christian speech. Why is there protection against anti-Semitism? I don't hate Jews. Why would I hate Jews? It's so stupid. See, it's part of the same mentality and programming that they tried. Somebody once said to me, you want to find out who's really in power, see who you're allowed to criticize and who you're not allowed to criticize.
You know, H.R. 5, which passed the House, is going to virtually mirror Canada's law, not only anti-Semitism, but also Islam is protected by law under H.R. 5. If you say anything negative about either the Prophet Muhammad or the religion of Islam, you are labeled a hater and subject to fines and prison.
Yep. So there you go. So much for free speech, huh, Larry? There you go.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Yeah, Coach. And I'll go on the record as saying I don't hate the Jews. I don't hate the Muslims. I'm not a hater, but I absolutely hate the literature that they hold sacred. I hate the Kabbalah. I hate the Talmud because you know what? It directly opposes Jesus Christ. That's even right. Even the Muslims, and let's be clear about this, even the Muslims to a degree have a respect for Jesus. The Kabbalah has no respect. They believe Jesus is burning in hell in a pile of dung. You can't get much lower than that. So no, do I hate the Jewish people? No, not at all. But I hate what they believe because those that embrace that are our enemies.
Not all Israel's Israel. Those who say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. People are afraid to talk about it. I'm afraid to talk about it. Why am I afraid to talk? I'll tell you that. I'm more afraid to talk about that than I am Hillary. I'm going to shift gears here, Jared. Flop open.
Hey, Coach.
Flop
Coach,
open.
Before,
go ahead, Vic.
Before you jump off, the land of Lincoln just did it. They passed the most extreme abortion measure up there, and that just shows you that these the opposition, they're half a step or 10 steps ahead of us. This H.R. 5, all these things, all it is a ruse, so you can't really see the thing. It's not about hating the Jews. It's about hating Islam. But they're sneaking that thing in so that we can't see it, and that's how they're doing it. They're protecting Islam.
All those who hate me love death. You want to see which side you're on? Just look who's in support of death. That's all. This isn't hard. Jared, did you pull up Ezekiel 2 for me? I don't know why, but that's where the Lord's driving me this morning. I'm going to stop a minute. Mike, did Mike Heath run from us again? Because he said he had another mic drop moment in his show today that I want to bring up. And he talked about, he doesn't even know.
I'm here, Coach. I'm here.
Okay. You mentioned because of the work that you guys just did there in Maine, I saw old Jack McCarthy came down and that crew that you guys had, old Peltier down there. You guys are at work, man. And Mike, you used a term that was almost anathema to Christianity, and you called it citizen lobbyist. What do you mean by that, Mike?
What did you, citizen lobbyist? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's the word you used. I thought, my goodness, that's it.
Right. We went into the state house and as just citizens, not elected officials, and we buttonholed legislators. Jack McCarthy was making a point to a senator, Christian senator, about his constitutional duty to hold the president of the Senate accountable to promoting, working toward laws that are unconstitutional. And it was good. We have power, that the building belongs to us, the citizens of all of our states. And we need to not leave the so-called lobbying to these highly paid professionals.
So, Mike, you guys walked in there and you took signs. You went inside the state house and you took signs and you went and you visited elected officials. Just corny old crazy guys with cross hats and shirts on. You went and decided, I think maybe it's time for us to go lobby and speak to our elected officials. Is that what you did?
Not just that. We went in and we started by praying. We read aloud. We joined in a circle right in the center of the state house, right at in the heart of it.
And we, all 10 of them.
Yeah, there were 11 of us. And we read Psalm 69 aloud, which was very ennobling and heartening and beautiful. It's a wonderful prose written by King David. And then we stood on the Senate side where they were debating whether or not to change the law so that elderly and infirm people can partner with their doctors to commit suicide. That was being debated that day. Yeah, and they made in the process of passing a law to taxpayer fund abortion to make sure that nurse, whatever, non-doctors can perform the abortions. Yeah, love death. It's all about death. This session up there in Maine is all about death.
And so citizen lobbyists, I bet, Mike, I'm not sure. I bet that place was buzzing, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of activity up there, and we were certainly very visible. Everybody knew we were there.
Wow, you bunch of crazy Christians, huh? If you crazy Christians would just go back in your churches and sit them be quiet and let us make all the rules, everything would go better. But it's guys like you that make Christianity look better. That's what much of the church is saying about you, Mike. God bless you guys. Old Jack and Harold and, oh, man, old Cat Sarge standing in there. Good to see you. Paul Mador right in the middle. Jack taking pictures over there. Wow.
Hey, Coach. Talking about lobbying, I remember when I coached soccer, our team was real physical. And if we didn't have referees that would let us play, all our guys were on. They were off the field. They had yellow card them and, you know. So what I'd do, I would go to those officials before the game. I'd say, listen, boys, you call this game both ways. You let my guys play. They're not hurting anybody, but they're physical. So I would lobby them and prepare in their mind, this is what you're going to see. And sometimes, Coach, lobbying is not wrong. It's good. We're saying you, this is the truth. You play fair or I'm going to be in your face. And
Randy,
that's all we're doing.
I have this exact same story when I was coaching football. I coached at Fairfield Christian Academy at the end, and I always got it with the referees and said to them, don't you referee our guys like they're Christian boys. Don't you referee differently just because they're Christians. We teach our boys to compete clean by the rules, and I'm going to be watching whether or not you're treating them different. That's lobbying, isn't it, Randy?
Amen.
Putting them on notice.
Holding them accountable.
Why isn't the church putting people on notice? I'm in Ezekiel chapter 2. This is what the Lord put on my heart today. And he said to me, son of man, stand upon your feet, and I'm going to speak to you. Wow. Look at this. This is Old Testament. It's before Jesus came. And look what happened. And the Spirit entered into me. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't in operation yet, right? Was here. The Spirit entered into me, and when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. See, we're a little different in Ezekiel. If you're born again in the Spirit of God, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You got that. You already got him inside you. And he said to me, Randy, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious people that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this very day. And Randy, they're impudent children and stiff-hearted. And I send you there, Randy, and you shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear you, Randy, or whether they don't hear you, remember, they're rebellious people. That they're going to know that there's been a prophet among them. And you, son of man, don't be afraid of them. And neither be afraid of Hillary Clinton or their words or her Secret Service agents or her mafia. Though briars and thorns are all around you, and you dwell among scorpions, don't be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Because I'm telling you again, Randy, they're rebellious people. And you speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they won't hear. Are you getting the pattern here? Because they're rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I'm saying to you. Don't you be rebellious like them. Don't you be like that, Randy. You open your mouth and eat whatever I put in it, whatever I give you. When I looked, behold, and the hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein written, a scroll. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. He said, I'm putting this in your mouth, brother, and you go speak it and you go eat it. Remember, there is no such thing as chapters. Go to the next chapter. He just told Randy to go speak his lamentation and mourning and woe, and I'm putting it in your mouth. He said, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that whatever you find. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So Randy opened his mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Randy, cause your belly to eat. And fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. Let it become your very essence and your very food, Randy. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey and sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For you are not sent to a people of strange speech, of a hard language. No, no, no. Randy, you're sent to our people. I'm sending you to our people. Not to many people of strange speech. No, no, no. And in hard language whose words they cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have. He said, if I'd have sent you to the lost people, they'd have listened by now. But these people in the church, they ain't going to listen. But the house of Israel, they will not hearken unto you, Randy. For they will not hearken unto me, he said. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I've made your face strong against their faces. Who? The religious folks. And your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Don't be afraid of them, Randy. Neither be dismayed at their looks. Because I'm telling you, dude, they're rebellious. Those Christian folks you're dealing with, they're rebellious. And moreover, he said to me, son of man, all my words that I speak unto you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears and go. Get thee to the people, to them of captivity, unto the children of your people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus says the Lord God. Whether they will hear, whether they ain't going to hear, you go do it. That's citizen lobbying. That's citizen lobbying. And we stop doing it. We stop lobbying, thus say the Lord, and telling people about it. This is what we're designed to do. Comments, criticisms, come on in. Jared, get up, pull up the other thing that says Ken Hall Chapel. Get that ready to go. Anybody?
No, I think
all hands on deck. All hands on deck. You just read it. He put it in your mouth. Go say it. All hands on deck. Go ahead.
I think that scripture demonstrates the principle that when something needs to be done, you cover your bases first. In other words, before you take a final step of getting violent about an issue or something, you go through every possible way to resolve the issue nonviolently first. But once you've exhausted your options, then you still have to do what is right.
Amen, Larry. And again, they've used those words against us. See, they call us pushing back violence. It's not violence. It's not violence. It's force. It's force. And when Mike Heath and Harold Peltier and Jack McCarthy and Kevin Bushy, when those guys went in there, I'm going to tell you, they felt that force. Those dark forces felt the pushback. They don't like it. Christians aren't supposed to do that. Who told you that? Who told you that? I want to play this real quick. Ken Hall is a musician from Nebraska who made this song for us for a trip to Chappaqua. And he put it together with this video. And I just think this is powerful, man. It's about 7 minutes. It's powerful. There we are, folks. We are standing on the streets of Chappaqua, and you're about to see Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Mayor Cuomo come walking on. And Mike, we're doing a little bit of citizen lobbying here. That's what we're doing. Go ahead and play that, Jared. The chairman and the pickleball.
Seen it on every station. It's like we have an infestation of ticks and leeches, just bleeding us dry. protect our rights, but they spend more time just trying to start fights. Fight and conquer, they better think twice. I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up and shout, where's that justice for all? Thought Lady Justice was blind and we're all equal under the law. You'll see the traitors demanding more. We know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be.
You know, for decades, we the people have voted for those that we thought would honor their oath, to serve us rather than prey on us. And decade after decade, they've taken that power, and they've abused it to enrich their own lives and their own selves and increase their own power at our expense. And instead of protecting our God-given rights and our kids' future and our kids' freedom, they've sold us out. They've destroyed it. Now it's time that we the people stand up and say the oath that you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution is a condition of employment. And if you can't keep it, you're fired.
The struggle against this struggle. Men far greater than us. Men who laid down their lives, gave the ultimate sacrifice, Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
And Lord, we refuse to any longer spit on their grave. Hallowed ground. As Abraham Lincoln called it, that those honored dead shall not die in vain.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we make an appeal to heaven today.
Yes,
Lord, as everywhere we've gone today, we continue to be confronted by men in black uniforms. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you for them.
Yes.
For their willingness to lay their lives down.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Lord, but I pray that you would help them to know, even as they go home tonight, lay their head on the pillow, that they'll begin to rethink whether or not their fealty, their loyalty is to the Lord, or is it to some department somewhere in Washington, D.C., or some department somewhere in Newcastle County.
Amen.
For you, Lord, are the King of the kings, and you are the Lord of the lords. You are above. You are the ultimate court. You are the ultimate judge. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Amen. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
That's why we're here today, Father. Father, we thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us, those of us who carry your name. Lord, we thank you for that same Spirit that empowered those men to storm Normandy, the gates up Normandy Hill. Lord, that same Spirit of those men who laid down their lives and stormed up Pickett's charge at Gettysburg, Lord.
Yes.
That same Spirit of those men who died in the rice paddies of Vietnam, the men who died in Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq. Lord, that same Spirit, that greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And Lord, that Spirit would arise across America again.
Yes, yes,
man. Lord, we come here, Lord. We declare under the unction of your Holy Spirit that Hillary Clinton is weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yes,
Lord, that she has violated the sacred oath that she took to not only to her God, whoever God, whatever that God might be, but to the people who trusted her, Lord. Lord, we just call upon you, Lord, for swift justice for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, it's the most merciful thing that you can do is to bring justice. We ask for that, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
You said that Lot would ask for men to come. If you would find 10 men,
you would spare the city. Father, we come before you today with more than 10 people that are righteous, that are just, coming to you to say, yes, Lord, we'll serve. Yes, Lord, we'll go. Yes, Lord, we'll stand in the gap. Do with us what you will, Father, and we'll stand for you. Father, bargain with us, please. Bring your justice. Bring your justice here.
Yes. Lord, move upon the heart of each and every one of us in our spheres of influence, Lord. Scripture says that the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues, Lord. I pray for a righteous boldness upon my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for putting in them the desire and the willingness and the obedience to come here and be part of this event, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they endured the laughter from their friends, the laughter from their family members, the laughter from those who said that they were stupid, that you couldn't do anything, the Clintons are, they're all powerful, nobody's ever going to cross them. Lord, I thank you for those who came anyway. Lord, I just pray that as we leave here, that you will look at the cry of our heart, Lord, for the sake of our children and our grandchildren,
yes,
and our posterity, Lord, that you will move mightily across this land. Lord, that justice will fall down like rain, it says in the book of Amos. Justice will roll down. Let justice roll down. Lord, just be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. We love you.
Okay. All right, Jared, you can do that. Ken Hall put that together. Jared, if you can, real quickly, go to Amos chapter 5. I forgot that the Holy Spirit had me pray that. Amos chapter 5. Folks, this is what Christians are supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do, all right? Go to about 20, Jared. I should have read this all this morning. Woe, 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or he went into the house and he leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. See, all the stuff that we're offering the Lord today in Christianity is we call it praise and worship because it makes us feel good. It's stench in his nostrils. Somebody come in and save me.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach. You know, it doesn't have to be, Coach. We can do that if we will stand for justice, righteousness, God's standard. It isn't stench. You know, we can, when we worship, it is the true thing. It isn't under a false covering then, Coach.
Randy, when you laid your hands on that gate, you worshiped the Lord, brother. You were obedient to what he called you to do. That is what he said that to obey is better than to sacrifice. Praise and worship is presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't get in church and have some guy with skinny jeans play praise and worship music and think you're praising the Lord. Oh, you are, but you're not. If that's all you do, your praise is in vain.
Amen.
Let justice roll down like a mighty waters, right? Like an ever-flowing stream. Justice! Judgment! Lord loves it. We hate it. Boy, he loves it. Somebody else. Powerful, man. Bible's so powerful. Those words are so powerful. We ignore it. Act like it's not there. Nobody?
We just hey, Coach.
Yes.
I'll throw something out there about judgment. In the garden. In the garden, before we knew good from evil, we were not to judge. We didn't know good from evil. And when we took judgment from God through sin and knowledge, eating of the knowledge tree of knowledge of good and evil, we took judgment from God.
We did.
So now he wants us to be just. We chose that path generationally ago. So now he just simply wants us to be just rulers, just servants, amen, just people. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Well, folks, see, here it is. Here it is, Mark. This is a misunderstanding of the gospel. Justice mattered. See, the Lord, Almighty God, think about that. Almighty God. There's nobody above him. He's the chief. He makes all decisions. Nobody can criticize him. Nobody can do anything. And the only way that we could be reconciled to him was through justice and judgment. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says that he laid on his son the sins of the world, right? Why? Because the wages of sin is death. When you sin, somebody's got to die. The only way that a sin can be covered is somebody has to die. And he realized that we were in such a bind that we could never pay for our own sins, because when we died, it was because we deserved to die. And he couldn't let us off just because he loved us or felt sorry for us or understood our dilemma. No, 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 no. The wages of sin is death. You sin, you die. And the only way he could reconcile the world was he needed justice. He said the standard of justice is this. You sin, you die. And Jesus came and he was sinless. And because he was sinless, he didn't deserve death. He didn't have to pay the price of death for his sins. He had never sinned. He became the perfect sacrifice. God sent his son to die because God is just. He don't change his word for nobody. He doesn't change his standard for nobody, for anybody. That's how much justice meant to him. He said that he puts his word above his name, because if his word is no good, his name is no good. God demands, desires, and loves justice and judgment. Mercy follows judgment. I pray Hillary Clinton gets prosecuted and slammed in the slammer and then receives grace and mercy from Christ. But there must be justice first before grace and forgiveness can come. That's why he sent his son.
Amen.
He didn't pull any punches even on his own boy. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, if there's any other way, why do I have to do it? I didn't do anything. Why do I have to go through this mess? Because greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Justice will go down like a mighty river. That's what we're hoping is going to happen. God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Praise God.